Lord, we're grateful for your love and grace, for the opportunity to worship you. We're grateful for the way you show up in our lives. Most of the time, we're not even aware. Sometimes we just can't help but notice. Speak through me today, Lord. May we learn to trust you more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe in miracles? Dana Reinhart wrote, "There are days when I think I don't believe anymore. When I think I've grown too old." And that's right when another seems to happen. In any given life, yours or mine or anybody we know, miracles, being supernatural, are rare. And they're unexpected. If they were common and expected, they wouldn't be miracles. They would just be the normal course. We pray for something. It's seemingly impossible. And then God works a miracle. And then we're amazed. Because when we prayed, we really didn't expect that God would work a miracle. We kind of hoped he would. But it just kind of hits us. Wow, this was a miracle. And miracles are wonders of God. Wonders of his grace, of his wisdom, of his power, of his love. A lot of times, miracles just timing. That God does exactly the right thing at precisely the right time. Now, the Bible contains hundreds of amazing miracles. Hundreds of them. And you know many of them. The plague struck the Egyptians, but the Hebrews didn't get any of it. Bad things happened over here, good things happened over there. It's a miracle. Or God parted the waters of the Red Sea. Moses held out his staff. The people went safely through to the other side. And then the waters closed up on God's enemies. It's like, that just doesn't happen every day. Or how all these hundreds of thousands wandered in the wilderness and they didn't have anything with them to eat, but God provided the manna and the quail and water wherever they went. And their shoes didn't wear out. Did that for multitudes for 40 years. Miracles. Amazing. Or Jericho. The armies marched around the town. The walls came tumbling down. Remember how Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead? Or how Elisha struck the king of Assyria with blindness? Or how the angels of the Lord destroyed Sennacherib's army when they were encamped around Jerusalem. Or how God miraculously saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. Or how he protected Daniel in the lion's den. Remember the miracles of the early church? And they point to the Lord. Mark 16:20 says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." So the miracles were confirming his word in the Old Testament, in the early church. But today we look at Jesus. And Jesus performed more miracles than any other single person in the Bible. He calmed the storm. He miraculously fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. He caused the deaf to hear, the blind to see. He set those who were imprisoned by demonic powers free. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And his resurrection was witnessed by over 500 people at once. Miracles. New Testament records 40 miracles. But we don't know exactly how many miracles Jesus did. There are texts that demonstrate that there were way more than 40. For example, Matthew 8:16 says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick, all of them. So how many demonized and sick people were there? More than one. Doesn't say. We don't know how many miracles there were. Or Matthew 15:30 adds, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And he laid them at his feet, and he healed them. So he healed people from the crowds. How many? 5? 10? 20? 50? More? Doesn't say. But more than one. John 20:30 puts it this way. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So we have 40 miracles specifically recorded, and God knows how many others he performed that were not recorded. Jesus was a miracle worker. But today, our main text, we look at Jesus' very first miracle. It's kind of a surprising miracle, something that you wouldn't have expected as the very first miracle that the Son of God would do. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Take note that they'd only been following him a little while at this point. It's his very first miracle, and they hadn't been with him that long. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And then, this is the key here. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, a good size. Each one holding 20 to 30 gallons. It's a lot. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. And he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Kind of interesting. When Jesus came first in glory, the shepherds saw him. The first miracle, the servants saw him. Jesus wasn't trying to impress the high and mighty. He was just impressing the ordinary folks. The servants saw him. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now. This is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This miracle, as strange as it is, you think about all the possible things Jesus could have done. This miracle shows that Jesus cares. Really? Yeah, really. Turning water into wine showed that Jesus cared. The host family was about to be publicly humiliated. An entire village would come together. Cana's a small village. Everybody would get together. They have a wedding feast. Go on for days, a week. And they'd eat and they'd drink and they'd celebrate the wedding. And it's a joining of two families. It's a big deal. And you have to serve a beverage. And the common beverage of that day was wine. Didn't have Coca-Cola or Mountain Dew or A&W root beer. It was wine. Or it was water. And when they ran out of wine, that was a humiliation. They would have failed to plan. It's like, what? A feast with nothing good to drink? And so Jesus spared the masters, the bride and groom, the families, the humiliation. The celebration could have turned to disappointment, but instead, he just quietly went to the servants, performed the miracle, and everybody had the wine. It just showed he cared. This isn't a statement about drunkenness or alcoholism or anything like that. It's a statement about God seeing a need in people's lives and caring about them, sparing them humiliation and shame, and causing the feast to become a downer instead of an upper. God cares about our lives. He cares. And Jesus took something ordinary and made it the best. Really ordinary. What's more ordinary than water? He took water and changed it into wine. But not just any wine, the best wine. It was good. You all know that takes a miracle because it takes a while for fermentation to take place, and there were no grapes in there. I mean, this is water, wine. That just doesn't happen. It's a miracle. In those days, wine wasn't as strong as it is today because they didn't distill it. They just fermented it and served it. And they also served it diluted because it was expensive. So you would usually have 2 to 3 times as much water as you had. But Jesus' wine was water, now wine. Full on, the whole thing, the best. Undistilled, undiluted, tasty, good. I think it's marvelous that we serve a God who takes the ordinary and turns it into the best. Peter, originally called Simon, a common, rough fisherman. Jesus took that ordinary fisherman, changed his name to Peter, the rock. He took that ordinary man, made him the leader of the early church. He took that band of disciples, ordinary guys. Women traveled with him too. And he taught them and he loved them and they were with him. And they became world changers. And there's no 12 people who ever lived to have changed the world more than those 12. They were just ordinary people, transformed by God, who specializes in turning the ordinary into the best. And I look around me here. I've had the pleasure of serving in this church. I'm in my 35th year here. And there's nobody here in this church as a superstar. We're all pretty ordinary. But God has done some amazing things here over the years. As far as I'm concerned, you folks are the best. You're the best. You'd have to be to put up with me all these years. But Jesus and God don't just do miracles for the sake of the show. It's not a circus act. Miracles have a sign purpose. When God does a miracle, when Jesus does a miracle, there's a reason for it. It's not to put on a show. It's a sign of something. Verse 11 reminds us there at the end. He thus revealed his glory. By turning the water into wine, he revealed his glory. And it ends up there, it says, and his disciples put their faith in him. They weren't just following a rabbi now who said, follow me. They were following a rabbi who could turn water into wine. A rabbi who had supernatural power. Jesus' miracles validate who he is. So people say, I want to see a miracle. God doesn't just do miracles on demand. You know, put in a number. Your turn is next. When God does a miracle, God has a specific purpose for it. We don't always see that purpose, but sometimes that purpose is perfectly clear. It's in God's hands. to determine when a miracle will happen, how it will happen. But his miracles show that God is God. For example, when Jesus calmed the storm, it was a sign that Jesus was the Lord of the weather, of the wind, and the waves. He's literally God, controlling the weather. When he raised the dead, it was a sign that he was the Lord over death and sin and suffering, that he had the power to take that which is hopeless and infuse it with life again. When Jesus healed the sick, it was a sign that God has the power to heal any and all disease and to set people free from pain and suffering and misery. When he fed the 5,000, it was a sign that he was the provider of everything. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, taking some loaves and fish and feeding 5,000 people with it, plus women and children. God provides. And this miracle validated for Jesus' disciples that Jesus was the real deal, that he was somebody worth following. Now, take note that this miracle was unexpected by everyone but Mary. Nobody expected to do this miracle. Jesus didn't even expect to do this miracle. He says, my time hasn't come yet. But nothing like a nudge from a mother to get you moving, right? Mary says the word, and Jesus says, I guess my time is now. When Mary saw the need, she brought it to Jesus. She didn't know what he was going to do, but she knew the history. She knew the angels sang when he was born. She knew he'd been baptized by John. She knew he was beginning his ministry. She knew her son was something special because Simeon and Anna had told her so. And so Mary, just in faith, says to the servants, you just do whatever he tells you. You watch my boy. He's got this. So Mary believed. Jesus saw her faith. So the time is right. I'm going to do something. And water became wine. And the banquet was saved, and the disciples believed, and the host weren't embarrassed. Edwin Lewis Cole said, expectancy is the atmosphere for miracles. I don't know this for a fact, but I suspect if Mary hadn't brought it up, if Mary hadn't said, you do whatever he tells you, I suspect that water wouldn't have become wine that day. You know, when Jesus went to various towns, there were places where he was able to heal a lot of people because they had faith. But there were towns like his own hometown where he could do almost no miracles because they didn't believe. Expectancy is the atmosphere for miracles. Now, you can't expect that a miracle is going to happen to you every time you pray. But you can expect from time to time, God's going to do something amazing. And God does. And God does. God honors faith that is connected to his timing and to his will. We don't just go around wishing for what we want. It's not a magic formula. It's not an incantation. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. God, do it now. But there is an air of expectancy. Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Because Jesus had cursed a fig tree and it withered. But it's not what we do it on our own. We do it with faith. We do it believing in Jesus. We do it in Jesus' name with his character. We do it in accordance with the will of God. And when we're walking with God and we know something is the will of God, then we are more inclined to see a miracle when we believe. Make sense? Faith is a holy expectation that God is ready to do something special. And I've seen it many times. Not every day. Not even once a month. But many times. When God has done something special. Paulo Coelho said, miracles only happen if you believe in miracles. Now, like I said, it's not a miracle by demand situation. God, I got your arm twisted behind your back. Now you got a miracle because I said so. But there are times when the will of God, the circumstances, the faith come together and God says, I got this. Something amazing is going to happen. We live in a world of wonders and mysteries, but we're not going to see miracles in our own lives every day. I want you to catch that. Because one of the, and please let me just speak frankly to you, and don't be offended, but if you are, that's okay, because my wife will take care of me later, and she'll love me. We need to be cautious about calling something a miracle. Because people who don't believe look at us and they think we are idiots. There are people out there who think we are idiots. And we help them along. We help them along when we say something's a miracle and it's not. It's important to speak the truth. And we need to understand that when somebody turns water into wine, that's a miracle. But if you get a dollar off coupon on your wine, that's not. Oh, God was taking care of me. I got a dollar off at Target or wherever, you know. A miracle is different from a wonder or a mystery. And I think we need to keep this in our minds so that when we make a testimony or when we make a statement to somebody, we're telling the truth and not some kind of hokey religious claim that people look at and say, yeah, those Christians are a bunch of, boy, are they ever dumb. And you know what? I've heard so many dumb stuff, I kind of say, yeah, oh. Don't you sometimes cringe? We shouldn't say cringe-worthy things. We should speak the truth always, right? Birth is a wonder. It's not a miracle. It's a wonder that God brings together two cells and they become one, and a baby begins to grow and is implanted in the mother's uterus and becomes a full-fledged human being grown up and, you know, wrestling someday. That's a wonder, but it's not a miracle. It's a natural event that God has created. It's marvelous. It's beautiful. Not a miracle. Now, if you're married and you've never been with a man and you have a baby, that's a miracle. The orbits of the stars and the planets, the beauty of the mountains, the complexity of DNA, they're mysteries. To most of us, even the scientists have to say, you know, we really don't fully understand this. They're mysteries. They're wonderful. They're marvelous. But they're not miracles. It's just part of the natural world that God has made. It's a wonderful, marvelous world. And it's mysterious. You don't understand how it works. But it's observable in an ongoing, natural way. So if God shows you a beautiful sunset, It's wonderful for you. Praise the Lord. But it's not a miracle. There's a beautiful sunset every day in just about every community on earth somewhere. Right? And the earth goes around the sun. On and on and on it goes. It's a wonder. It's a mystery how that gravity thing works and how that motion and all that physics stuff. That, who wants to know it? But it's not a miracle. Miracles are when God transcends the natural. When God does something that natural laws that God has placed into the universe cannot and will never explain. Because it's different from those laws. Water does not become wine because somebody prayed over it. Now, water becomes wine if you add grapes and ferment it and let time go by, but not if you have no grapes and not if you have no time. That's a miracle. When we recover from a cold in 3 days, that's a tribute to the marvelous immune system that God has given us. It's marvelous, amazing. It's mysterious, really, how it all happens. But that's not a miracle. But when you've been diagnosed with terminal cancer and you've got cancer all through your body and you pray and tomorrow you don't have any, that's a miracle. See the difference? Miracles happen. But not every day. Not to everyone all the time. Wonders are there every day. Mysteries are there. God knows mysteries are there. But miracles, where God suspends natural law, they're rare. And they're special. And they're amazing. Many years ago, a small boy stacked there was some hay stacked near a barn. He was playing with matches, and he caught the haystack on fire. And it's amazing how things will burn. By the way, public service announcement. You know those overstuffed chairs that you buy with all that fireproof stuff? They burn. We had a chair that got soiled by a cat beyond description. So I should have put the cat out there too, but I put out just the chair. You know, it has all that flame-proof stuff, you know? Put that thing out there, put a little paper under it. That chair went up. Flames are 8-9 feet high. I thought, well, I'm, my goodness. If you dropped a cigarette in that chair, it burned your whole house down. I couldn't believe how fast that thing burned. So I just want you to know, it says fireproof. Hey, don't you believe it. The haystack took off, burned like crazy. Barn catches fire. Whole farm is threatened. The family is running to the water tank. They're throwing buckets on it. There's no way that help can get there before the whole farm is burned up. And so they cried out to the Lord for help. God, stop the fire, because the fire was taking it down. Large cloud came over. All at once, it poured a drenching, driving, soaking, hellacious rain. Drenched everything, put the fire out completely. That's a heavy rain. You know how heavy, flames will burn on a haystack. You're talking huge flames. Farm was saved. And then just as quickly, the clouds were gone. When they talked to their neighbors about it, nobody else got rain on their property. Just them. Now, rain's not a miracle. Rain's a natural event. God has designed water cycles and all that in the world, and rain will come, rain will go. But when you pray and your house is burning down and your farm is burning down and the rain comes immediately, dumps only on your property, puts the fire out and doesn't get anybody else's property around you, that's a miracle. It's a miracle of prayer, time, and place. God is, Diane Roll said, God is still in the miracle working business. He's still the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I don't know why God does miracles sometimes and not other times. Only God knows the mysteries of God's choice to do miracles. But I do know, and I have seen, as have you, that God is still in the miracle business. Seen amazing things. Can't explain them. God just did it. It's really cool. It's really cool. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. I've seen marriages restored. Seen atheists become believers. And all over the globe, there's miracles happening. They're happening in South Africa and South America and China and California and here in Adams County. But they're not happening in each one of our lives every day. They're happening all over every day. You understand what I'm saying? You may pray a long time and no miracle comes. But God still loves you. He's working good in your life. Or in just one moment, like Mary said, do whatever he tells you. A miracle may come. And God doesn't love you anymore in that moment either, because God's love is a constant. But God does the unexpected when God's people pray and believe and hope. We don't know when a prayer is going to be answered with a miracle, or when it just seems like the suffering goes on. But we do know that God loves us. Our Lord can turn water into wine. Our Lord can calm the storm. Our Lord can heal the sick. Our Lord can raise the dead. Our Lord can put out the fire. Our Lord is able. Our Lord is alive and working in our midst. So keep trusting. Keep trusting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you that you turned water into wine. And that you've done so many amazing things and continue to do them. Lord, help us to trust you. Whether we see a miracle or whether we just have to persevere under trial, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to recognize your good. And help us to give you praise in the valley and on the mountaintop. And to always have you first in our hearts. And Lord, we do have persons in our hearts and minds.